top of Daf Lamites Amid Aleph, the third line, Tana. And we started this yesterday. V'chulam shamin lahem ka'aris. If the Bailim come back and they want to regain and repossess their karka, then those who were brought down to supervise the karka, to work the land, to administer the karka, they are paid as an oris, which means, as Rashi points out, shomin lem ka oris, im yavoa bailim yitlu elu bishvach karkos uperos kiminaga rise hamakom, meaning that an oris collects two things. He gets a certain percentage, depending upon the minog, of the peros, and he gets a percentage of the shvach. That's the appreciation of the value of the karka. The Gemara wants to know, ahaya, on which case is the Braisa talking about? After all, the Braisa had presented three different cases. There was the classical case of a shavui, which means that we have reason to believe that the person who was taken captive is no longer. And then we have the case of netushim, where somebody had to abandon his karka against his will. He had to immediately and in urgency just pack out and get out of there. And then we have the case of retushim, somebody who went on a journey and, we're not sure of his whereabouts. Ilema ashvuyim. And this next line of Gemara is very important. If we assume that the Brice is telling me Shomin Lem Karas with regard to Shvuyim, which means the first of the three cases, that's called Moridin Karov Lenichse Shavui, and we're talking about a Shavui, and we have reason to believe, the rumor has it, that he died, is Hashta Zoriz Viniskar Hava Maidish Tabach Miboy, my diashbach mi boy. Now that we've already established in this braisa, and that we can take a look back on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis, where the braisa says that even in a case of shomash and mashbashin uboin v'kodem v'tolish v'yochal harezes zoriz v'niskar, and Rashi says mahir lizkos b'shalo b'terem yafse v'niskar b'zriyuzuso. So in the case of a karov, moridin karov l'nichse shavui v'shamu bo shemes, the karov is zoche in anything that he ate, anything that he consumed or sold up until the point when the bailim returned. All that is his. So therefore, the Gemara says, is there any need for the Braisa now to tell me that he gets shvach, meaning he gets paid as an oris? For sure he gets paid as an oris. His rights are even greater than that. He's considered almost like a yoresh, in the sense that he goes down into the karka with the idea of collecting for himself any benefits. And if he's very quick about it, even when he hears that the Bailam are on the way back home, he can still take some peros and pocket them and eat them, consume them. How much more so should he be paid as an oris? And this, Rabosai, seems to be the sheet of Rashi, Aloch Lamaisa, the final maskana, that with regard to Moridin Kara b'nichsei Shavui, which means Sheshomu bo Shemes, he, the Karov, gets two things. Number one, he gets to keep anything that he already has, that he's already pocketed and consumed and enjoyed. And not only that, he gets a share as an oris in the future crops or the appreciation of the karka. He gets a double benefit from the karka. That's Rashi's sheet. Now this Tosis, Divya Masva Kulam, has a different shita. Let's just read a few more lines of the Gemara, and then we'll try to see if we can figure out shita satosus here in the sugya. The Gemara says, Ella, let's go to the third case in the Braisa, and that's Aritushim, somebody who made an intellectual decision, a deliberate decision to go out, and he travels, you know, far off to Medina Sayyam, and he hasn't been seen in months, in years, I don't know what. And in that case, the Braisa says, that was the third case, Motzian Osam Yadok, meaning no one's allowed to go down to the possessions of the Ritushim. And again, the lumdus of it is that before he left with full marbles and a deliberate decision, he should have, or he could have, appointed someone to administer his karka, but he didn't do so. Apparently he wasn't interested in that. He would rather let the karka lie fallow until such time that he returns years down the line. And therefore it's impossible to say Shomin Lam Ka'aris, because if anyone went down into this Ritushim, he's going to be booted out. Certainly he's not going to benefit as an Aris. Ella Anitushim, but let's go to the middle case. Someone who abandons his karka not as a matter of a deliberate decision, but because of circumstances that are beyond his control. There's an urgent, pressing need for him to fly the coop and get lost. We'll soon see that what this fugitive is running away from. Is in that case, the Braisa has by Anitushim a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Chachamim understand that even in the case of Netushim, where he had to go against his will, we still are not going to allow anyone to go down to the karka. That's only going to be a special takana for a shavui, but we're not going to go as far as to expand that to Netushim. That's the Tanakama Shita. And if that be the case, is Motzino Somiyado, we cannot say that Shomin Lem Ka'aris, but it could be that we're talking about Netushim according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Because Rav Shimon Gamliel was the one who said that Netushim has the same din of Shvuyim. But the Gemara now raises the question, Omar Shamati Sheha Netushim Kishvuyim. And the Gemara at this point understands that this is an absolute equation between Netushim and Shvuyim. So whether a person was taken captive, or for some other reason he had to quickly exit and take the first boat out of his kark, you know, far away from his kark, in both cases, we have a din of Moridim Karov L'Nechasov. And therefore, just like in the case of Shvuyim, we've seen already that he's a Zoriz Veniskar, you know, he gets a double kind of payment over here. Number one, he can pocket any produce that he's consumed up until this point, and when the Bailam come back, he will get a share in the profits and the appreciation and the payers that will in the future be produced. The same thing should apply to Netushim. And once again, we come back to our question, why did the Braisa have to tell me Ke'aris, Shomin Lo Ke'aris, when we have a more fundamental cash value payment here, compensation of Zoriz V'Niskar? So the Gemara says the key to answer this question lies in the Chaf, HaDimyon. It says, Kishvuyim. Rav Shimon Gamliel never accepted an absolute equation between Shvuyim and Netushim. Netushim are like Shvuyim, and there's something very fundamental in common between the two, but yet the analogy doesn't go further, and there's no absolute equation. Kishvuyim, to what extent is there a commonality between Netushim and Shvuyim? Di ein motzino son miyado. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, since in the case of Netushim, he had to abandon his karka without any time, without any deliberate decisions, you know, he wasn't organizing and arranging his karka, he had to go out, he was in Bahola, he was in a state of shock. It's therefore we have to do whatever we can to cut down his losses and allow for a Yoresh to go down to his Nechasim. However, but Velo Shvuyim, it's the din of Netushim is not equal to that of Shvuyim. Dilu Hasam Zariz Veniskar, Vilu Hacha Shaiminan Le Ke'aris. In the case of Shvuyim, the Karov who goes down to administer the karka of his Morish, who's a Shavui, he's a Zoriz Veniskar. He goes down into the karka with the sense of, this is my karka, I'm the Yoresh. and therefore he can whatever he consumes, fine. And if he, with alacrity, he grabs onto some more fruits as the Bailam are coming back, that's okay, it's his. But in the case of Netushim, we're not going to allow him to pocket the peros that he's eaten until now. And certainly if he hears that the Bailam are coming back, he's not allowed, he's morally enjoined from taking the peros and grabbing them swiftly in order to consume them. But nevertheless, we do have to offer some compensation, since we said that netushim kishvuyim, as far as ein motzi en oso miyado, which means there's a din of yored lenichsei retushim, a valid yored lenichsei retushim, and you know we are really encouraging the yored to administer the field and do the best he can. We got to offer him some compensation for his work. Is shaymin and leke oris? That's what the b'risa means to tell us that he gets a percentage of the value of the peros, and he has to be paid for the appreciation of the karka. All this is going to reward him and motivate him to give his best, his utmost, for the benefit of the karka, of the natush, until such time that the natush returns home. Now, at this point in the Gemara, I think we're ready for the Shitas HaTosis, because the Gemara emphasizes here that in the case of Shvuyim, he's a Zariz V'Niskar. Rashi would understand, on the one hand, that if he's a Zariz V'Niskar, then certainly we have to compensate him as an Oris. But that's not the Shita of Tosis. Tosis Shita is that in the case of Yored L'Nichsei Shavui, and here Tosis separates it into two cases. There's a case of Lo Shamu Bo Shemes and Shamu Bo Shemes. Let's take the case first of Shamu Bo Shemes, which is the classical case of a Shavui. There, HaRezeh Zoriz V'Niskar Masha Kodam V'Ochal. Okay, he's allowed to keep that which he already consumed. That's called the Zoriz V'Niskar. But Eino Notel Klum Li Achar Shechozru Abaylim. He gets absolutely nothing from the moment the Bailim show up. And that means he's completely excluded from Shaminlo Ke'aris. And let me try to summarize, if I can, the Shitas HaTosfos. Tosfos holds that in the case of Netushim, there the Yored is allowed to retain anything that he ate, anything that he consumed before the owner's return. Okay, so that's what we're going to give the Yored in the case of Netushim. But in the case of Shavui, here's where there's an afkemina. Although we're going to allow the Yored L'Nichsei Shavui to keep the peros that he's consumed until now, in the case where we heard rumors that the Shavui died, nevertheless, he will not be compensated for unconsumed produce. In other words, this is arguing with Rashi, whereas Rashi would hold that in the case of a karov sheyored l'nichsei shavui and shamana bo shemes, there'll be a double compensation. He'll be compensated not only kizaris v'niskar for the consumed gains or the consumed peros, but in addition for the unconsumed peros, meaning the future peros or the improvements and the appreciation of the karka, he's got an oris. He's got twofold. Tosis, on the other hand, holds that although the din of yored l'nichsei shavui is kizoriz v'niskar, but that's it. He will not be paid and compensated as an oris for future produce, meaning for unconsumed produce. That's the word that we want to use, unconsumed produce. Now, All this is in the case of Shamu Bo Shemes. In the case of Lo Shamu Bo Shemes, which we're talking about, for example, Netushim, we haven't heard that he died, we just know that he had to fly the coop in an awful hurry. In such a case, Shalo Shamu Bo Shemes, and this could be also a Shavui Shalo Shamu Bo Shemes, but I think the same thing should apply to Netushim. Let's see if I'm right about that. Then, what he ate, and even if the Bailim come back, he doesn't have to, Lamafreya, calculate, well, he ate more than he should have eaten, he has a greater percentage than an Oris is given, is compensated for. So therefore, in the case of Lo Shamu Bo Shemes, every ate, whatever he consumed, we're not going to go back into the files and start billing him, but on the other hand, he doesn't have that advantage of Zoriz V'Niskar, that if the Bailim on the Mashmashin Uban, they're on the way, he's morally and legitimately allowed to go down and grab on and seize on to more and more peros. So in the case of Lo Shamu Bo Shemes, the final formulation is Eino Yochel Kadem V'Litlosh Kol HaPeros, and that he's not allowed to do. Now, the question would be, is there a din of paying the Yored as a sharecropper, as an Oris? So Netushim has a certain similarity, according to Tosfos, to the Yored in a Shavui case, meaning of a Shavui case where we heard rumors that he died, and the Yored in the Netushim case can consume whatever he can consume until the owners return, but as opposed to the Yored in Shavui, the Yored in Netushim doesn't have this Chote Meniskar ability, and if he hears about the imminent return of the owner, he's not allowed to hurriedly consume produce, which he can do in the case of a Yored in Shavui. The reason for that, apparently, is because, according to Tosus, as opposed to the Yored in Shavui, who doesn't have the compensation advantage of Kiaris, meaning for future unconsumed produce and Shvach, in the case of Netushim, he does have it. So there's sort of like a trade-off, according to Tosfos. On the one end, in the case of Yored, Vishamu Bo Shemes, we're going to allow him to be a Niskar, a Zoriz V'Niskar, but on the other hand, we're not going to give him the compensation of an Oris. In the case of Netushim, of the Yored in Netushim, we're not going to give him the advantage of Shehei Zoriz V'Niskar, but on the other hand, we're going to give him the compensation for unconsumed products, which means we're going to pay him like an Oris. That's more or less what we have at this point. And now, let's figure out where we could take this from this point and on. We're on Lamites Amid Aleph, and you remember the discussion that we had in the last shiur about two cases within the framework of marriage. There's the motzi hotzos al niske ishto in the case of a classical marriage, nikse malug, she brings in karka, he sinks in a lot of money, and in such a case, whatever he spends, whatever he ate, he ate. He doesn't have rights to get compensated as an oris. He's not like the case of a yored l'nichse shavui. And the Gemara says that if you want to have set up a comparison to the yored l'nichse shavui, the Gemara says, don't take the case of baal b'nichse ishto Hamalug, right, Nixay Malug, but rather to the case of Ishto Ktana, Hamotzi Hotzos al Ishto Ktana. And in such a case, there's going to be a special Takonis Chachamim, because the fear is that since the Baal is worried at any moment his wife may be Memayan, right, if she's a Ktana, therefore he may be tempted to, you know, squeeze out from the karka as much as he can at a very fast pace and exploit the karka and in that sense damage the value of the karka. Therefore, what they did in order to offset that fear is they gave him a takana that he should be compensated as an oris. And in contrast, the case of Baal there's no reason for the Baal to exploit the karka at a very fast pace and get a quick turnover, because he doesn't suspect that there will be a get. In fact, he himself has to initiate the process of get. Reading the final line of the Gemara, that just like in the case of a Baal b'nichsei ishto ktana is lo samcha daite, and therefore they gave him an incentive to treat the karka of his young wife very carefully with kid gloves by offering him and promising him compensation as an oris. So too hachinami biyored l'nichsei shavui is, since again they're choshesh that he won't treat the karka properly because he's always worried, Shemayachzer Hashavui, is they made him a deal and they offered him quid pro quo a compensation of an oris. Now, I think if we're not mistaken here, and please research this both in Tosus and in the Rosh, Siman Yud Beis, this case that the Gemara is dealing with, in which there's no, you know, the halacha of notel ka'oris applies even to Yored L'Nichsei Shavui. This is a case of lo shamu bo shemes. And since it's lo shamu bo shemes, he is going down as an oris, and we have to make sure that he'll be compensated so that he doesn't do any hanky-panky with the karka. In the case of shamu bo shemes, which is a different category of shavui, their Tosus is of the opinion against Rashi that he could be a zoriz with regard to the consuming karka, because he's really yoresh because of shamu bo shemes. But nevertheless, we're not going to give him the compensation of an oris. And that's because, you know, in his mindset, he's going to treat the karka with kid gloves because he thinks he's the oresh because of shamu bo shemes. Now the Braisa says, v'kulon shamulem ka'oris, v'kulon lasuye mai. And the Gemara says, lasuye hodi omer av Nachman omer Shmuel shavui she nishba moridin karov l'nechasov. We're talking about a case of a shavui who was taken captivity. You know, there was no advance notice. He didn't prepare for it. And therefore, the halach is moridin karav l'nechasov. He was yotzei shalomi lo lidato, lo midaito. But yotzei l'das, if he goes out deliberately, and that's what we call retushim, is ein moridin karav l'nechasov. Because when he went out, when he left the property and took that slow boat to China, he should have instructed those who would be the caretakers of his karka. If he didn't do so, then we can understand from the omission that he wasn't interested in the karka coming under the administration of anyone. And that's what Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel. For Rav Nachman Didei, Rav Nachman disagrees, and he says the following. Boreach harehu kishavui. That there is a situation in which a person makes a decision to fly the coop. He's a fugitive of some sort. And once he made that deliberate decision, you and I would think that he's not like a shavui, and we don't have the halach of moridin, and yet Rav Nachman himself says moridin. But now the Gemara qualifies that. Boreach machmas mai, why was this person running away? Ilema machmas cargo, he just was avoiding paying taxes, right? They used to, the king would impose a per capita tax, and he perhaps didn't have the money to pay the taxes at that time, so he flies the coop. Is hainu l'das, then how could Rav Nachman disagree and say, you know, well, he he was forced to leave urgently. You know, he actually made his decision. There was a deliberate decision. You know, when maybe it was in the middle of the night that he left because you know the tax officers are on his tail. But he made that decision. He's not bohul. He's not totally in a state of disarray of intellectual shock. So in that case, there's no reason why we would be yored l'nichsei boreach if the boreach himself could have and didn't appoint anyone as the caretaker to oversee his kakel. Boreach machmas mardin, but if he's accused of murder, and Rashi points out here that it was the minhag amongst the Parsi and the Persian government that anyone who was suspect of murder, or maybe there was evidence to that effect, they would put him to death. This boreach has to get out of here immediately. He doesn't have a moment to breathe. His life is on the line. He doesn't have the yishuv adas, you know, the intellectual composure to appoint and instruct someone to administer his karka. He's bohul. He's mamish in a state of disarray. And therefore, his din is like that of netushim. And if you recall, netushim means they were forced to get out of there. And therefore, Moridim Karov the Nechasov, and as a result, the Karov will be compensated as an Oris. Omer Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Shavui Shenishba, V'iniach Kama Liktzar, Anovim Livtzar Tamarim, Ligdar Zesim Limsok. This individual, right before he's taken captive, he had left his field in a very advanced stage, meaning it was way past the plowing and the planting. It was almost ready for harvesting. And the produce was ready to be harvested, and the grapes were ready to be harvested, and the dates were ready to, there's different words in Lashon Kodesh for harvesting for different kinds of fruits. Zesim Limsok. In all these cases, says Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, Ein Moridim Karov L'Nechasov. And this is the exception to the rule. And the reason for this is we have to worry about the benefit and the financial benefits of the owner. And in this case, you know what? It's not a good idea to allow someone to consume all these fruits that are ripe and ready to be harvested. And therefore, Bezdin Yordan L'chosim Amidim Apetropis, and Bezdin now has to do whatever they can to supervise and oversee the harvesting process in order to guarantee that this very, very valuable, you know, produce that's ready to be consumed, ready to be harvested and marketed, those monies, those funds are as a result of the supervision of Bezdin, will be placed into the bank account, will be held in safeguard, in escrow, for the Shavui, so that when he returns Amir Tzashem, he'll have all these funds. And that's where Bezdin will appoint an apotropis, which is some sort of an administrator, and that's going to guarantee that no one is going to rip off the shavui and take his nechasim shelo kedin. What is the apotropis responsible to do immediately? Kotzer, botzer, goder, mosek. He's got to harvest all these crops, whether it be grapes, dates, olives, whether it be grains, whatever it might be. And v'acharkach, there, subsequently, now the karka is in a normal state, it's back to its regular state, is morid and karv l'nechasov, then we no longer have to hire this administrator of Bezdin, this apotropis, to oversee and administer the property. Again, what's going to guarantee us that this karov is not going to deplete the karka and exploit the karka in a way that'll damage it? The answer is he'll be paid as an oris. So that's all in the case of a shavui, which Tosus here, I think, would interpret that this Shavui is Lo Shamanu Bo Shemes. Well, the Gemara asks the obvious question, now that we have this easy solution of apotropis, is Lukim Apotropa Liolam, why don't we do this as a general rule? Once you've already gone as far as to say Moridin Apotropis for the Katsira, for the harvest, let the apotropis remain where he is, and work the land, and administer the karka. Why do you remove the apotropis in order to replace him with a karov? And the Gemara answers, apotropa lidiknane lo mukminan. As a general rule, Bezdin is not going to go out of its way to try to find an apotropis for the nechasim, for the properties of a more mature person. Literally, Dignane means his beard is grown full. And apparently the reason for that is that people just don't want to volunteer to serve as an apotropos of Bezdin for the sake of a mature person. Nobody wants to do so. Lo matzanu misha yirtza b'kach. In the case of nichsei ketanim, you know, everybody sees the opportunity to do a great mitzvah on behalf of these nevach ketanim, these yesomim, and therefore they volunteer readily to serve as apotropos. But it's very difficult for Bezdin to locate someone who is willing to serve as an apotropos for bearded people. Omar Rav Huna, ein moridin katan lenichsei shavui. We're talking about a karov here who's going to go down and administer the karka, but he's a katan. He may be the first in line heir, a yoresh, but nevertheless, who's going to rely on him, on this katan? Why would we allow such a thing? The katan is not mature enough to oversee the karka. Now the flip side, for lo karov lenichsei katan, and if the properties belong to a katan, we're not going to take a close relative and allow that relative to administer the karka, to plant and to harvest the karka, etc., etc. Why? Because maybe after a certain amount of time, that karov is going to claim that the Yerusha fell to him, and this is really his. But rather, it's better that they get some fremde mensch, you know, some Adam Zar, that he should serve as the overseer of the land. I'll look at Rashi, about nine lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Ein moridin katon lenichsei shavui, vafilu hu roi li yorsho, dekamafsid lehu, umutav shioridu lahem ish nachri. So again, in this case, we're talking about a katan who is going to be installed in the possessions of a shavui. That for sure we have to avoid. And Rashi says, better to take someone who's an absolute stranger than a close relative. That close relative is a katan. But then Rashi says, v'lo karov. Now we're talking about lo karov lenichsei katan, the second clause, the second statement of Rav Huna. Haroi lirash benichsei katan. This person who's a karov of the katan is next in line as the heir of the katan. Lasos velechol. Ukin mesayim taimo. What's the reason for this? The kevan de katan lo yada limchuye. The katan doesn't have the maturity and the intelligence level to register a protest. Asa hai karov lach zuki bahen. This karov is going to come and establish his possession over the karak of a lomar, and he's going to declare lechelik yushaso ba, which means that this karov, together with this katan, inherited from somebody else. They were both yorshim of some ploni. And therefore, since this relative is not only a yoresh of the katan, but the katan inherited that karka, together with Karov, who is now going to be administering the karka. So again, there are three krovim over here. There's the father, and then there's these two sons. And now the father dies. The katan, one of the two heirs, is the katan. If you put the other heir, he's going to claim that the karka is his. In other words, because since they share a Yerusha together, it's very easy for him to say, well, this was part of my Yerusha, part of my chelik. And the katan doesn't know enough to make a mecha. Then we have a third case of lo karov machmas karov l'nichse katan. This is a relative of a relative. And Rashi is going to give an explanation of that. We'll see that soon, because the Gemara is going to analyze this. But first, the Gemara wants to analyze the statement of Ein Moridin Katan L'Nichsei Shavui Dilma Mafsid L'Hu. The Katan will not take good care of the Karka. That makes sense. But V'lo Karav Machmas Karav L'Nichsei Katan. And what's that case? Of Karav Machmas Karav. And that's the case of Achei Me'ima. What does it mean, Achei Me'ima? In other words, a maternal brother. That's two young children, two young boys that share the same mother. V'lo karav l'nichsei katan, kevin d'lo machi asilach zuki be. And that's what we said before, that we're afraid that the katan, if his land is going to be administered by a karov, that karov might come to put forward a false claim, and the child is not mature enough to counter and protest against that false claim. So Amar Rava, Shma Minomi the Rav Huna, what we can certainly deduce from Rav Huna, who would not allow a karov to go down and administer the Nichsei Katan, is we could see that Ein Machzikim B'Nichsei Katan, meaning the implication here of Rav Huna is that someone other than the Karov would be appointed as an administrator of the property, and we're not afraid that he might establish a chazaka, because there is no chazaka against the katan. If you bring a karov in, again, he's going to claim that he inherited this land, and there's going to be confusion as to whether or not, in fact, he inherited. But if this yored is someone that's not related, and he wants to claim that he purchased this property from, let's say, the father of this katan, and he's been living there year after year without any protest, that's not going to be a problem. And the reason why that's not going to be a problem is because we have a law, we have a rule, that ein machzikim b'nichsei katan. You can never have a chazaka against the katan. It means that you started your chazaka during the life of the father, you continued it after the life of the father. The child has no clue as to his own rights to the karka, and therefore he won't make a mecha. So the 3 years of chazaka don't prove a thing, because the absence of mecha doesn't prove a thing. Vafilu higdil, and even if at some point subsequent to the original possession of this karka, when the karov took possession, the child became a gadol. V'lo amaron biachei di abba v'lo biachei di ima leslan ba. And even this law of Rav Huna, that a karov cannot be yored l'nichsei katan, that only applies b'achei abba, maternal brother inherits his brother, but a maternal brother, achi de'ima, doesn't have the ability to make a claim that it's his karka, because he inherited that karka, is therefore leslan ba. We have no problem in taking a maternal brother and appointing him to oversee the karka of his maternal brother, who's a katan. And even achei di abba, nami lo amarin ela bi arata, this only implies with regard to sados, Aval bibate, with regard to structures, buildings, Lesson Bud is no problem, because we have the neighbors who can testify that that these batim were inherited by the katan and not by anybody else. Uba'aratanami lo amarin ella, even in sados ella delo avid itida. There was no shtar that was written and signed which would testify to the fact that this piece of karka was the fell to the lot, to the portion of the katan. Aval avid itida kola islay. In other words, the word gets out, the ruma, you know, shtar always generates a kol, and everybody knows that these fields belong to the katan. No one's going to be able to claim that they own this karka. And the Gemara, after all these qualifications, completely rejects it. Velohi, it's not so. Loshna chei di abba, loshna dachei di ima, loshna arata, loshna bati, loshna avidita, loshna lo avidita. In all these cases, lo machtinon, we will not allow a karov to enter into the field and administer even the batim of a minor. And the reason for that is that even a maternal brother, let's say they are brothers through the same mother, he can still come up with a false claim, and he can say that it belonged to his mother, and it was given over to the child's father who married his mother, and that was called nichse malug within the context of a ksuba. Rashi says, pen yomar shall imi haya nichse malug vi aviv shall katan bal imi ay muchsak ben machmashu ochel peros vhu mes kodem li imi velo yarsha vani yoresh chetzion machmas imi. Since my mother's husband died before my mother, therefore when my mother died, I was the yoresh. So even though they're only a maternal brothers, nevertheless, he can still make that claim that it's his karka. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here, and Mirtz Hashem will pick it up tomorrow. I want to wish everyone a great Shabbos. Kol Tov.